welcome back to Subscribe Blog.
Hi, I'm Rajat.
Rajat, yes. I was wearing my proper shirts uh-huh. for our enterprise customers
right.
for the last few days, but today is my last day in Redmond, so I'm already wearing the on-the-flight sleeping clothes.
Right, okay. All right, enterprise customers
yes.
spotted in this thing.
Exactly, and also here, just to impress the people on the plane, I get this. So.
Maybe we'll have Boeing as a customer.
The Boeing thing. Well, I actually know for a fact that we have Boeing as a customer. Boeing is one of the bigger customers,
right.
or, well, a bigger company. For bigger companies who are having larger systems
mm-hmm.
and who are deploying larger systems, we've had a number of requests. In the past on not making all these deployment steps all that interactive.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And we're also using it ourselves. So we have some new things that we're going to look at today.
Right.
You've worked on them?
Yeah, I've worked on some of those, and specifically around the requests on these, where people, and in fact big companies, in fact it's common even with small companies, people want to automate their deployments. People want to automate their all the service bus admin tasks, if I may. Things like creating a namespace dynamically, deleting it if needed, then getting analytics around those, building reports from those. A bunch of those admin tasks, like creating a queue, like for example, if you have a solution, some of the admin tasks that you want before your system to be really running is like create namespaces and create queues within them probably.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, let your system go running. So some of these tasks till now were not really available programmatically. So that was not really like an automated step. And this was a common request from a lot of our customers, as you already mentioned, for example, a few. They want these things available through APIs.
Yes, and so the we've had that functionality, of course, for the initially we had the Silverlight portal,
correct.
And behind the Silverlight portal, we had a set of APIs that
right.
you could use, where you create a namespace and we call an API from that portal,
correct.
But that was a path that was secured, kind of only with a GOT certificate from that particular portal,
right? Correct.
And so that was not acceptable. So we built for the new portal, which is now all shiny and
correct.
HTML5 and
correct.
All pretty.
Yes.
Now we took another approach and now put a generally usable API with a certificate-based model.
Yes. So let me talk about that model in general. So we were thinking about building these APIs all up across Azure. In fact, we wanted all across Azure steps to be automatable. And we came up with this strategy, which is basically there is something called a management certificate
mm-hmm.
that you can upload on the shiny new portal.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can perform pretty much any management operation on that subscription. So you upload a certificate for a given subscription on the portal. You just give the CER, keep the PFX to yourself,
mm-hmm.
the private key to yourself, and use that to make calls to Azure and almost automate anything that portal can do today.
So how is that different from, what I use with PowerShell?
No, so the interesting thing is these APIs form the base layer of everything today.
Mm-hmm.
These APIs essentially, just think of like the Windows model, there is kernel at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
These APIs are your kernel. So if you have PowerShell, Visual Studio, Portal, all of these are sort of clients to these APIs.
So there's an HTTP REST API
correct.
At the bottom, and then
yes.
there's these libraries that sit on top of that.
Correct.
And then all these various ways of managing your things are kind of layered on top
correct.
Of that.
Correct, yes.
Okay.
So that layering model basically enables you a bunch of things. Like, if you are a PowerShell guy, you get that thing. Underneath, it uses the same thing. So
mm-hmm.
you get the same consistent thing, if I may, all across these APIs.
Okay.
So PowerShell output, for example, is very similar to what the REST does.
Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at the documentation quickly, and
right.
then we're going to go and see you doing some.
We'll do something live.
Some voodoo motions. Okay, we're
right.
going to do that. So
right.
let's go and take a look at that.
Sure. So let's jump on to what we have documented, and we'll go into details around those. You can obviously read about these, but. Here we'll go into some details. We'll show them running to you. So the best way to reach there is basically search for Service Bus REST API reference, and you'll reach to this page.
There are a couple of sections here which we'll talk about. First one is the resource provider API reference, and second one is the entity metrics. The resource provider is an interesting name. I don't know why we documented it, but essentially, a resource provider in Azure terms is basically a sort of resource, just like Service Bus is a resource, SQL Azure is a resource. So the, every service is sort of a resource in Azure, and all the APIs to do all the management operations are basically symmetric. So if you
Resource provider, the model comes from a resource that really plugs into the portal. That's
correct.
The original thought.
That's the original thought, exactly. Yes. So if you look at the URIs, here I have a Fiddler request that, actually this is a request to create a namespace. So everything starts with management.core.windows.net. That is the core Azure URL. You append your subscription ID here. And this subscription ID is available on Azure portal. You just copy and paste it from there. Then services/service bus. And this is what I was talking about, because Service Bus is a resource here. You basically have that under services. So services/service bus and then namespaces. And here I'm trying to create a namespace with this name, my new 1234 Rajan.
Okay.
And before I jump back, we can also have a quick look at the create namespace. All this needs is basically a Rajan. So this requires.
So entry, let's go review this quickly here.
Correct.
So entry XMLNS, and then it's an atom. So this is an atom entry.
Correct. Yes.
The content type is XML, application XML, and then the content itself is what we call a namespace description.
Correct.
And that namespace description and then called just contains a single setting
that
we must set, and that's here South Central US.
Yes, correct. Yeah, that is the only important thing. Let's go ahead and create this, I'm pretty sure.
So we're doing a put request here on that
correct.
New. So we're doing a put, we're doing it on this whole URI.
Correct.
With the suffix being, oops, because I went out of focus here, with the suffix being the name of the
correct.
Desired new namespace.
Correct. And the only required parameter is the region. The rest of it is basically XML glue. Now, if you look at the output, all it says is, this is the namespace. That is the name that we gave the region. It also contains some interesting information like your default key.
So this now was executed, and this now gives me the default
ACS key.
ACS key.
Correct.
So what happened is, as we execute this, this went to Service Bus, created
correct.
A new namespace, set it up for DNS.
Yes.
Went to ACS.
Set up a hyphen SB thing for you.
Yes. And
right.
then went also did that.
Correct.
And then
it is preparing your gateways.
Yes.
So if you look
now
at
the status
is
yes,
activating.
It's activating, which means the key has been generated, but now it's not done yet.
Correct.
But we're waiting for
yeah.
this to be available.
So what we do is we generate these keys for you, and then go and try and set up ACS, set up your DNS entries,
yeah.
and set up all those things. And it takes time, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is you issue a request. We send you back the namespace description with an activating state. And a lot of these namespaces, these days, they basically get active in 20 seconds. Obviously, at times, it takes time.
Yeah.
There are always network issues, always those issues. But yes, that is like a 90 percentile number these days.
Okay.
So you also get another interesting thing, which is the connection string. Now, this connection string you could directly use in your client library and start doing all your operations right away. This is the owner connection string, so this has all rights that you have. But obviously, this is just to get you started. If you want, you can go to ACS, create more identities.
Yeah, we have tools for that. For instance, the SBAZ tool, as I discussed with. I discussed it with Santosh for how to do the other authorization models.
Correct.
So, since we see the key here, so we're getting the same kind of functionality that we get out of the portal.
Correct.
This here is secured now with the certificate, right? With
yes.
the management certificate.
Exactly. So any of these calls basically need your certificate to be set up. If you're making it through client, make sure your web request has it in the has it as an attachment. And with Fiddler, you basically install your PFX on the machine, and then point your Fiddler to use that certificate.
Okay. So what? So the security model here is that because this is kind of the master cert that kind of accompanies your subscription, really.
Correct. Yes.
You want to be very careful about that one.
Yes. Correct.
And so what we do in some cases is we have, or well, how we deploy things,
right,
is we have a machine that kind of acts as the gateway for those things. So that has all the secrets on it.
Correct. Right.
So if we want to do a deployment job,
right,
we have that one precious machine that has the secrets, so we know it has the secrets, and then we can go and walk up to that.
Correct. And you could build all auditing around it. Mm-hmm. That's like your one secret, basically, to manage all things in your subscription.
Yes.
Including creation of servers, creating of compute nodes, and creation of service buses.
And you can also go and roll those things, so you don't have to leave that there. And,
correct, right.
So you can go and add more management certificates and roll those in a very frequent basis.
So the portal supports a lot of certificates. There, you basically, in fact, in this subscription, I have a bunch of them already uploaded.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to settings, you'll see management certificates, and whoosh.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of them.
Right. So all these certificates, as in this is an internal subscription, so we use it across for that purpose. But mm-hmm. obviously, you'll have like a couple at max, like one primary, one rolling over. So, mm-hmm. so this is one way of securing all your assets in Azure, and also automating all your deployment tasks in Azure.
Okay.
So let's look at what Service Bus offers other than create namespace. So if I jump into the resource provider API reference.
Mm-hmm.
You have pretty much everything that Service Bus needs for management. There is create namespace, delete namespace, then check namespace availability. This is important mm-hmm. because if that name is already taken, we don't allow that name.
Mm-hmm.
And you could issue this call before creating it, and it will basically return you back if it is mm-hmm. available. And by the way, this is what portal uses all across in the UI. If you, for example, go to this section.
Oops, yep.
So this lists all your namespaces.
Mm-hmm.
The simplest way to do that is do a get on your namespaces.
Oops. What? Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
If you do a get on this thing, you'll get a feed containing all your namespaces. What? Okay. So if you do a get on this, you will basically get a feed of all your namespaces, and which contains the full description on everything that you need for the namespace. For example, this is one description that I'm showing here, right? And you can basically query, like this is the call to get all the namespaces,
mm-hmm.
right? You look at it, it contains all the, this is a feed, and it contains entries containing namespace description for everything, right? So this is one single call, it gives you everything that you have for your namespace. Now, the other interesting thing that we offer is obviously you can create queues, delete topics, create subscriptions. Almost anything that is needed for service bus management mm-hmm. is available through the certificate. So you could pretty much automate all your deployment steps, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these are available through PowerShell, but this API is a broader set and not available in PowerShell. Right?
Sure.
So with this, you can almost automate anything.
Yeah, you can automate by basically setting up, provisioning your namespace.
Correct.
Almost completely. There's a few things that you need to run the APIs for. Like, can you create rules?
You can create rules from here, but correct. So rules probably you would want to go through your client library.
Okay.
Yeah, but subscriptions and doing your namespaces, everything is basically available through here.
Okay.
Right.
So. Yeah. But there's more. There's more than just management, creating, deleting things.
So once we did this, then we saw people basically asking for more. It mm-hmm. never ends, right? Now, what we also did is we exposed in through the same path, basically the same certificate. You also get a lot of interesting analytics available.
So all these new funky graphs that they have in the portal.
Correct. Let's just look at this one though, and if I jump into, for example, this one, it shows you a fancy graph of a lot of your metrics.
Oops, collecting.
Yes. Let it show.
Make me graph. Take another one.
Anywho, we can basically jump into the graph a little bit.
Ah, there it is.
Yeah, see, there's that a graph. Is a nice fancy graph.
So
the thing is, this basically is displaying a lot of data, getting a lot of data.
This is a test namespace. That's why there's not too much all that much data. Correct. So they're all effectively zero.
All right.
And period.
Yeah, and then the interesting thing is, this not just gives you like one data point. Mm-hmm. This gives you aggregations across four different options today. And this is basically, if you look, pick up 1 hour, that is basically aggregated every 5 mm-hmm. minutes. So this data is aggregated every 5 minutes and shows you that stuff. This one is 24 hours. It shows you value collected at every hour. So mm-hmm. if you hover here, it shows you that for this size, for the topic, this is showing size metric for you. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's showing the size at this time. And it is aggregated every hour. So this basically is showing you the max value.
Okay.
And let's jump into the APIs to understand a mm-hmm. little bit more. But so if you look at a metric, there are three important things that you need to know. One is, what is the metric that you're looking for?
Mm-hmm.
For example, here we're looking for size.
Yep.
And there are a lot of other metrics. They're very interesting metrics, in fact, available today. So first thing that you need to know is what metric you want to look at.
Yep.
Second is, what is the aggregation that you're interested in?
So I think of this as the Windows Azure way of doing performance counters, right?
Correct, right. So perf counters, again, are shown, if you, for example, go to a compute node and look at its metrics, mm-hmm. that precisely shows you those collected.
But what I mean is, what I would usually do in an on-premises application that just sits on Windows, what I would do there through the perf counter API, I would do right. here for the Windows Azure
Correct.
Accumulated resources,
Correct.
Right?
Right. So these are collected for you on different time intervals mm-hmm. and then aggregated accordingly.
Okay.
So the second thing that I was talking about that you need to know is basically your roll-up or your yes. aggregation across time. So we have four aggregations, as I told, already available. One is done every 5 minutes, one mm-hmm. is done every hour, one is done every day, and one is done every week.
And so I can get at those also through the API.
You can get those same
show
stuff.
Show me that in the docs.
Yes. So the interesting let's look at get metrics.
Mm-hmm.
If you go and issue a request at vac metrics. So here is your namespace, then your resource path, mm-hmm. and then vac metrics. Resource path would be something like vac queues, vac queue name.
Okay.
And then matrix, it'll give you all the list of supported metrics that are available running live mm-hmm. now. So we do have a list available. These are the available metrics that we have.
Oh, so that list can actually grow. So
Correct.
It's not a fixed API.
Yes. So if that list is basically updated as frequently as possible, mm-hmm. but if you want what is running now, just go out and make a call to get metrics. It'll give you the list of all the metrics that are available.
So that's a very dynamic thing. You
correct.
Can we can add that, and you can
yes, correct. That's how Portal also keeps on getting updated automatically.
Okay. So the Portal is a generic thing that just picks the metrics up from here.
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. So let's go ahead and quickly look at one of these APIs. So let me. You can focus a little later. Yeah, let's.
It's one of them.
Yeah, exactly. So, yes. Yeah, let's go here and then.
Well, the discoverability in Filler is.
Is fantastic.
Yes.
All right. Okay. So if you look at this request is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
What we did is service bus, namespaces, signal R demo. This is the same namespace.
Mm-hmm.
Then topics, and then we're looking at scale topic _0.
Okay.
And then we're basically saying, give me everything that is at metrics. Okay. So if I execute this, I get a list back. It contains all the metrics that are supported on that topic.
Mm-hmm.
Size, right? And the unit is bytes.
Yeah.
Incoming, the unit
yeah.
is messages.
Yeah.
Similarly, there is total requests. That is,
mm-hmm.
again, a number of messages. Successful requests.
Ah.
Requests failed. These
ah.
are just interesting data. And a lot of customers already started using these. And then there are also requests which tell you different sorts of errors that you might get.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, if it's because of a timing issue that you're seeing, like, for example, creation failing, or, for example, sending a message failing because of some issue, you'll see all those here.
Okay.
So we group those. We basically send all that data back to you. And you can always issue a request at VacMetrics to see what is available.
Okay.
Next thing that I was talking about is basically the rollups. All right. Now, rollups are interesting. These are basically the rollups are basically the aggregated times. If I issue a request at rollups, let it come back. Yes, you'll see all the rollups that are supported on this entity. So here's a rollup which is basically done every 5 minutes.
Okay.
PT5M. This is the ISO thing for 5 minutes, and it also has an interesting thing called retention. Yep. You might be interested about that.
And so it actually has those links that are sitting in here. I see all these links. So the link to actually navigate to that is
correct.
Right,
yes, exactly. So you can always use these links to navigate to the exact property.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a collection. It's easier to look at.
Okay.
So if you look at, for example, hourly data, we retain it for you for 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the daily data, we retain it for two months. That is 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
This is another interesting. If you are interested in weekly data, we retain it for approximately 2 years.
Oh,
so
wow.
You can get 2 years worth of weekly aggregated data through this thing.
Very cool.
All right. Now, this is just to get the metadata.
Mm-hmm.
And now let's look at the real data. So the real data is, this is JSON. This is smaller, way smaller than all those links. There is no fancy stuff here. But for all your runtime, this is interesting. Let me just quickly show you the XML just to make it a little bit more readable. Otherwise...
Oh, JSON is plenty readable.
It's plenty readable?
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't show the links, those fancy links. Yeah, so this is the XML. If you look at everything, it basically is returning something called a timestamp.
Mm-hmm.
This tells you when it was collected.
Yeah.
Then there is a min, max, average, and total.
So that's O data.
That is O data. Yes, exactly. So
the metadata is not O data, but the data here is actually O data. So
even the metadata is O data if you basically send an accept type as application XML.
Ah, okay.
So that's the magic. So you have to send an accept type like application/JSON. We'll return you back JSON.
So there's content negotiation taking place
Correct.
Here.
Yes.
Oh, that's very cool.
Right. So let's look at this request. It shows you the request is important because you may have to do it on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Rollups, I'm looking for a daily rollup
for
size metric. And then I'm asking for values. This will get me the real data.
Mm-hmm.
And all I'm saying is, give me data with a timestamp less than yesterday.
Okay.
Right? So this will give you all the data which is aggregated daily for size and for this topic. Less than this value. You could basically write your own filter. These are O data filters.
Mm-hmm.
You could say and greater than, basically give a range, like timestamp between this and that, or you could just say less than or greater than.
So there's full query capability across that
Correct.
Data
yes.
as well.
Correct.
That's great.
Correct. So if that's what actually Portal uses in that fancy graph that you see. It shows you for 1 hour. That is actually a time range that they are sending us.
Okay.
And we return back that data. So if you issue this request, this is exactly you would issue it. Values, ? Dollar filter, an OData construct.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is the property name, basically timestamp.
Yeah.
And you say less than LE. This %20 is fiddler thing. Otherwise, this is a space here.
Yeah.
And then date time, 21/03/2013.
Cool.
Right. So this will return you back all the data that you need. And you could basically, because this is a OData feed, you could export it into Excel.
Sure.
You could get
and plot a graph out of that yourself.
Correct. Right. To. And if you don't like our retention period, just keep on calling this API over time and aggregate it for yourself.
That is very nice.
Right.
So
in a sense, here's the key takeaway in case you are looking at automating any of your deployment work. Make sure you have a certificate. Just upload a certificate.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you have certificate, you have all the APIs available to do almost anything within Service Bus, all management operations within Service Bus. So you could automate all your deployment for using that single certificate. The other thing is we have now your metrics available, your analytics available right to you through your APIs. You can see those fancy graphs in Portal if you like them, but if you want, you could basically also export them locally, save them, and then view them later as you want, build reports out of it.
Great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Rajat.
That was a fantastic
walkthrough through something that has been so far not talked about, so I'm glad that we did that this time.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.